We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me over there, the one and only Dan Rubenstein. I almost said beautiful.
Because you were saying beautiful Chicagoland, yeah?
Sometimes I do that in the intro when I've just got a little too much energy. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good, Ty. I got to tell you, though, after last week, I have grown accustomed to a certain lifestyle. So is it going to be Gosling? Is it going to be a Hemsworth? Is it going to be Bob Pattinson, Michael Fassbender? Which very handsome actor are we having on this week to talk about college football? Because I don't know. I kind of like hobnobbing with the cultural elite.
Hobnobbing with the cultural elite. Yes, that's what we do here. on this ragtag startup college football podcast. My name's Ty. He is Dan. This is a Solid Verbal. If you haven't subscribed yet, please do so on our website, solidverbal.com. While you're there, you can sign up for the newsletter. We also do have a Patreon, or as my wife likes to call it, just to razz me, the Patreon.
Patreon.
Verballers.com is where you can go to find out more about that. We are offering all sorts of cool bonus content. It's been fun. We've got a community, just a raging community of Verballers out in our Discord thread. We've got
mugs. That's raging enthusiasm, not attitude.
No. It's not. They're not coming with pitchforks and torches. They're just very excited to be there, and we're excited to have them. We've got pint glasses and mugs and all sorts of cool stuff. So verballers.com is where you can find that. And of course, check us out on social media. You know, all the usual hotspots, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, youtube.com/TheSolidVerbal.
Yeah, forget all the housekeeping. Just give me some odds here. Gyllenhaal, maybe?
Gyllenhaal?
Andrew Garfield? I'm obviously looking at a list of sexiest actors alive because I could not come up with them on my own. Ty, it's week 9, 10?
10.
I don't even...
10.
It's week 10.
What is a week? And it's a construct.
It's a construct. Okay, we have... I have a nickname for you.
For me or we have, for the week?
For the week, but for you to evaluate and tell me how on or off point I am.
Okay.
So we are adding in Maction. We are adding in Paction. Don't call it Paction. And it's more of the Mountain West. And so we're adding in, really, I don't want to say full slate because we don't have FCS games. And it really is not a regular college football season. But because our voyage is not ideal... And not everybody has made it, you know, to the destination along the way. There have been some bumps and bruises, but we're going cross country. Mm-hmm. Spirit Airlines Saturday. It's an inefficient college football season at best. at absolute best.
Wow.
Seats have been oversold. Baggage has ended up in Kuala Lumpur.
And it costs you $25 extra.
Everything's going to cost, everything is extra in 2020.
Spirit
Airlines Saturday.
Spirit Airlines, not a sponsor of the show, but.
No, and probably will never be.
How could I possibly reject that? Spirit Airlines Saturday. I like it. I like
it. And yeah, we're coast to coast. Does Spirit Airlines, I think they make, you know, East Coast to West Coast flights. It's not just regional, but even if they don't, we're getting there again, very bumpily.
Very bumpily. Well, we are recording this on Tuesday. It's going to drop on Wednesday. We appreciate everyone listening to the show as we talk through all that Week 10 has to offer on this Spirit Airlines Saturday, which is so stupid. We have to use it. We do have some news. Let's get to it. I actually can't do the breaking news thing right now. I'm having that weird, like, vocal thing that I had. Remember we did the History of Solid Verbal show?
Oh, yeah. I remember. Do remember this.
And I got the pain in my throat and I couldn't talk. To my
wife's... Breaking news!
Yeah, I would imagine to my wife's sheer enjoyment, I've had difficulty speaking over the last few days. So,
you sound good to me.
Yeah, I sound good now, but it was speaking of bumpily, we had a rocky go of it. But alas, we have news here to discuss, Dan. The most important of which is this story about Wisconsin-Purdue being called off. So cases at Wisconsin, of course, we knew about Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf and found out about Paul Christ. But 27 active cases since October the 24th. That includes 15 players, 12 staff, of course, including Paul Christ. They decided to call this game off as per, I think, where we're at with the Big Ten and how they've chosen to go about their streamlined season here. If a game's off, it's off. They don't got any buffer zone built into this thing. If it's off, they're just simply not playing it. So Wisconsin now, we saw the Nebraska game that got called off. The Purdue game, obviously, now next to follow suit. We'll see how things progress with the Badgers. But, you know, a bit of a bummer. We've been saying it all along. We obviously hope everyone's okay and not getting sick and able to make a full recovery and all that. That's sort of assumed at this point. But, man, really, really quite a bummer here to see that Wisconsin won't have another opportunity to follow up on that showing that we saw in week one.
Yeah. And my hope is that it's random. Obviously, the state of Wisconsin and some of the larger municipalities have been hit pretty hard by an increase of cases lately. But I'll be fascinated after the season when more is investigated and what came of protocol, because we know the Big Ten was quite skittish and came around with stricter protocol for testing. And we now know that sometimes players were testing positive and then the follow-up test was not, the results were not in a timely fashion. It'll be fascinating to hear about investigations after the fact, not just at Wisconsin, at places that have been hit harder, Florida, Baylor, places like that, major universities that have had the resources to test and test quickly, but obviously results and timing thereof can be varied. So that's going to be fascinating to me. And yes, as you said, it goes without saying that we hope that everybody is asymptomatic or the symptoms are as minor as possible and they're able to heal on a human level, much more so than a football level. But on that football level, this is the second consecutive cancellation. Nebraska was canceled last week. And now Wisconsin is at the maximum number of games is 6, which is the minimum number of games to make the Big Ten championship game. Am I right?
Yeah.
So something to pay attention to, because now, as we all anticipated, Purdue in the driver's seat for Indianapolis.
Purdue of 2-0.
A virtual home game for the Boilers, if they're able to find their way to Indy.
Oh, my God. All right. Elsewhere, speaking of healing, DeMarcus Thomas from Ole Miss, a scary moment, was hit in practice, was not moving, taken to a local hospital. Thankfully, shortly thereafter, reports did come out that he was able to move his extremities. He was discharged from the hospital. Seems like he's okay. But scary moment. Obviously, we're all college football fans, but we hate to see this sort of thing. It sort of is inherent to parts of the game and no Definitely. Fun when it goes down. So we wish Mr. Thomas well.
Yeah.
And the only other tidbit I have here is that Houston and Cincinnati are going to get some more premier treatment now because of that Wisconsin-Purdue cancellation. Mm-hmm. They're going to move that into the main ABC 330 window, get a little more airplay.
That's what I... And you know what? Good for you. I did see that, and good for Cincinnati especially, who is certainly playing like a primetime and network television type team with some of their recent results. So worthy of being watched by as large an audience as possible. For sure.
For sure.
Or I would say. Yeah.
Would you like to go to games?
That'd be, fantastic. Yeah, special.
Dan, time, help. I need picks of the week.
It is week 10 for some. It is week 3 for others. And I don't even know what it is for the SEC. But here we are. Alas.
Week 1 for the Pac-12.
Week 1 for the Pac-12. Yeah. Welcome to the show. We've got a loaded slate of games here. And for us, it's been a little different this season. From a podcasting standpoint, what I would do, I would always put all the games together by conference and then move them around, right? Put them in order, the order that seemingly makes the most sense for the most people who listen to the show. And for the first couple weeks, it was very easy to do in a way that it hadn't ever been, literally had never been so easy to group them by conference. Just talk about all the games. That's all we got. But now we've gradually been building up to it. Gradually been building up, like a distance runner, Dan. Finally, sure. At the 10-mile mark. Now we're at 13. Now we're going the full way here. 26.2, because the Pac-12 is joining the fold. And I must admit, it took me a beat to get back up to speed with how exactly to organize things. But one of the bits of feedback I've gotten that seemingly works well for our listenership is organizing things by time window. Right? Like we're going through chronologically throughout the course of a day. We always do the window of opportunity, right? Like which of those windows can you skip all or part of to go out and be a normal person? And so why not organize the show as such? I've been doing it. It's been working. The problem I have this week is I don't really know when the window of opportunity is. At least for me, I'm so interested in really all three windows on Saturday that it's tough for me to accurately gauge. Full disclosure, I'm probably...
I mean, you do have the option of Friday night, Sunday morning windows of opportunity where you're just like, look, anticipate a stacked Saturday and cook dinner Friday night, go run some errands, hit the hardware store, hit the grocery store.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still going to have, you know, whatever weekend stuff you have if you have kids who have activities and stuff like that, and there's no real helping that. But if things can be shuffled... Maybe you got to scout it out ahead of time and think Friday, think Sunday.
The two biggest games of the weekend are at 3:30, Florida, Georgia, and at 7:30, Clemson, Notre Dame. Agreed?
True. Ding. Yep. Uh-huh.
So if you don't really have a dog in the fight, if your team's not playing, or if you've just given up on your team, maybe you're a Kansas fan, I don't know. Those are the two windows where you've got the biggest, highest profile games. We'll start here with West Virginia, Texas in the early block at high noon. I'm really interested in this game.
Okay.
Really interested in this game. This is one of those matchups that for me is a pleasant surprise. Right now it's West Virginia on the road plus 7.5 against Texas. I thought West Virginia was going to be better this season. I don't think I gave them a lot of love when we did the preview, but they were really young last year. They're breaking in a new coach. We're both pretty pumped about Neil Brown, you more so than me. Mm-hmm. And look, so far we can definitively say that they've gotten better.
Oh, for sure.
It just so happens to be at a time when the Big 12 is very gettable. Very gettable.
Yeah.
They're also getting Texas potentially in a gettable letdown spot after that overtime win on the road against Oklahoma State last week.
Yeah.
You look back at last year. This is a back and forth game until the fourth quarter. West Virginia wasn't nearly as good last year. They still hung with Texas. Austin Kendall threw four picks, which didn't help. Never helps. So now we come into this game. West Virginia, I think, is better on offense. They're pretty good on defense. I especially like the Stills brothers along the line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they got enough firepower to win in the end, because I think Sam Ellinger finds a way to do it to get Texas over the hump. But I can't fight the feeling that this is a good spot for West Virginia. that it's a game they've had circled on the calendar for a while. And if you're giving me more than a touchdown, I am intrigued by that play, Daniel. How do you feel?
Well, Texas down Keyonte Ingram, which certainly doesn't help in terms of firepower. I looked this up because I kept watching Texas games and was unable to make sense of what I was seeing from their passing game and from Sam Ehlinger. Sam Ehlinger in conference play, in yards per attempt nationally, is currently 61st.
Wow, that low.
He is 61st. He is a shade beneath Jarrett Garantano and Henry Columbi and Adrian Martinez. I guess that doesn't really count because he's only played one game. But in terms of Jarrett Daigie is ahead of Sam Ehlinger right now. So that's, I guess, the more relevant statistic. Also relevant, the number of times West Virginia has won on the road this year. That would be 0.0. And that worries me a little bit going into Texas. And what it is the lack of success on the road stronger than either one of these teams feeling a bit of a letdown after a comfortable win against Kansas State and, of course, a narrow one against Oklahoma State? I think the mismatch is something that you alluded to, and that's the West Virginia defensive line against the Texas offensive line. For that reason, I'm going to take the points. I'm going to assume that the Texas offense is again going to look off balance for chunks of this game. Give me West Virginia to keep it close. I don't know if they can win on the road because recent trends have dictated that that's a pretty big question, but I'm going ears. I'm going to take those points happily with that letdown factor.
I think something like 31-26 is my target.
Okay.
Final score, but I'm
West
with
Virginia
you.
Or Texas?
Texas wins. I think okay. Texas wins, but I do expect West Virginia to keep it close, and I like the situation for them. I do. I'm really impressed with how they've built this thing now through the early part of the year. Weird year, right? But they've done a good job so far. We agree. Moving on.
We agree.
We are not going to agree on this game. I can sense it already.
Really? Okay. Let's party.
Michigan -3.5 on the road at Indiana. I'm going to let you go first here. I think you know exactly where I'm going because I think I telegraphed it on one of our previous episodes. But how do you feel about this?
Might be the second best team in the Big Ten East?
Correct. I still feel that way, by the way. I'm not backing down off that.
I believe the secret to beating Michigan is losing to Rutgers. And Indiana went out stupidly, beat Rutgers. This does feel like an undervalue overvalue moment for me because that game against Rutgers for Indiana was unnecessarily close. A nice step forward for Michael Penix through the air. But I do believe that Michigan probably isn't as bad as they were, especially on defense against Michigan State. And I think Indiana is not just solid, but above solid. But I looked last year, and last year's embarrassing losses for Michigan. They lose to Wisconsin comfortably, and they came back, and I believe the next week shelled. Was it Indiana? I'll verify this now. I think the Notre Dame blowout, when Michigan blew out Notre Dame, was coming off of a loss. And so I do like that element. Okay, so they lose to Penn State on that Ronnie Bell late drop in the end zone. And then they beat Notre Dame by 31. They lost to Wisconsin and then blew out the aforementioned Rutgers Scarlet Knights 52-0. So not as relevant. But it is interesting to me that Penn State loss and the Notre Dame follow-up. So I think Michigan is not as dominant as we thought they were after the Minnesota game because we've readjusted our Minnesota thoughts, but also not as sloppy as they looked against Michigan State. So I think Michigan's at least a touchdown better here. They comfortably beat Indiana by, 25 last year?
Yeah, something like that.
On the road, I think the Wolverines are in good position to win this game by 7-10 points.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just so difficult to handicap any of these Big Ten games right now because we have such little data to work with. You're right. We talked about Michigan's win over Minnesota. It's not nearly as impressive as we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the loss last week wasn't great either. But now we've got this dynamic where Jim Harbaugh is staring down the barrel of an 0-3 start. And it's really hard for me to believe that Michigan starts 0-3 this year. But it is a tough spot. It is a tough spot. And look, I'm going to pick Indiana plus the points, but I have some of the same questions about them. You know, I'm high on them this year. They're off to a good start, but if you look at the numbers, that win over Penn State was a huge mirage. A huge mirage. Per Bill C., our friend who runs the SP Plus for ESPN.com now, Indiana's post-game win expectancy after that Penn State game was 5%.
Yeah, but they did. I mean, it is scoreboard at the same time. They won their clunker.
They got the
which...
job done. No, they got the job done. And yeah. Certainly Indiana is not the only team in that category. There are plenty of games that follow a similar path. And, you know, maybe they didn't play well enough to win from an efficiency standpoint, but they find a way to pull it off. But I still think a bit of a mirage in that Penn
But
State
do you
game.
Think a little bit of the Michigan State game was, the Michigan State win was a mirage against Michigan?
Not as much as the Indiana-Penn State one, because Michigan State was in control for most of that game.
That's true.
I think this is a close game. I think it's driven by defense and turnovers. I think Michael Penix makes the big play because he's good at doing that. I'm going to say Indiana outright. I'm going to say Indiana 28-27.
Okay. Okay.
I don't feel that confident about this, for what it's worth. But
if you believe in Indiana outright, this game is where? This game is in Ann Arbor?
It's in Indiana.
It's in Bloomington. Okay.
Yeah.
You have to believe, which it sounds like you do, that Indiana is the second best team in the Big Ten East. That you are...
If they're... Let me
put it...
This is
a flag that you have planted.
Michigan State's got a new coach. Nice win over Michigan. Bad loss over Rutgers, or two Rutgers. Michigan, we have to watch this game to find out. Penn State, I'm out on Penn State. You know that. And I'm certainly
not
buying any...
You also have to believe that Michigan is a legitimate mess, I think.
No. Yeah, see, this is why I'm not confident, because I don't believe that quite yet. But I'm going to stick to my guns here. This was my initial gut.
All due respect to 9 Windiana, of course.
Yes. So we'll see. We disagree. I knew we were going to disagree.
Yeah, it's okay. This next one's tasty.
Also at high noon. Wow. High noon Eastern. High 9 o'clock a.m. in L.A. for Arizona State. USC's a 10.5 point home favorite here. This is a weird body clock game, Dan. These guys are going to be waking up real early before the crack of dawn to get ready for this football game. So based on that and that alone, even though I do like USC a lot, I am very inclined to just go points, because an early morning game like that is not, especially after a pandemic delay, your first game of the year, we're waiting till November to play. So many things working against a favorite covering in this spot that I think I just have to go ASU plus the points blindly.
Very strange game last year, by the way. Different season, but Jaden Daniels didn't play in this game. That was a Joey Yellen, your boy, Joey Yellen game for ASU. The Trojans score, I want to say 27 or 28 points in the first quarter, and then hung on for their dear lives. And I think 131-26. They scored 3 points the rest of the way. It's a very strange game. ASU with a new offensive coordinator. I actually don't like picking games as much as I like figuring out what intrigues me about this game. And so it's a less explosive ASU team without Brandon Ayuk. And certainly USC down a couple of huge playmakers last year, but they're still so stacked along the receiving core. New defense for USC going against a promising quarterback in Jaden Daniels. It's a lot of points, though. And I went back and forth on this one because, okay, USC, they're sleeping in their own beds for this weird start time. But everybody's waking up at the same time. It's not a huge, huge advantage. I'm going to take the points in a very strange situation.
Yeah,
I like ASU's defense some. USC clearly has the talent advantage on both sides, and I think they got their left tackle back. He had opted out and opted back in. So I am confident in USC's ability to win this game, because I'd rather have a new defensive coordinator breaking in a defense, an offensive one. And so with Todd Orlando joining the USC coaching staff, I think there's a little bit more momentum with USC at this point. I think they are 7 to 10 points better, but I'm not fully confident in a comfortable win, because there's a good amount of promise to ASU at the same time.
All right. We agree, Dan. We agree again. Some other games here. I've got 5 quick ones that I just want to rattle off before we get to that afternoon slate. Excuse me.
Sure.
Nebraska -4.5 on the road at Northwestern. Nebraska, of course, had the extra week to right the wrongs from week one. I stand by what I said after that Ohio State game. I think the defense looked better. And I like Nebraska here minus the points.
I like a good defense at home with the Rubenstein bump to the North Shore. So I'm going Northwestern here. I'm going Northwestern to Peyton Ramsey, even though we believe in Nebraska's potential improvement up front on defense. It has to be proven to be a little bit more sustained than getting up for just that opening week game against Ohio State. So, yeah, I'm going to take Northwestern here and Peyton Ramsey, who held on. They went down pretty big early on against Iowa, but they stayed steady. And I'm going to go Cats at home in Evanston here to at least cover, if not win outright against, I think, a still flawed Nebraska team.
We disagree. Okay.
Disagree.
Also in the Big Ten, Michigan State at Iowa. Iowa is a 6.5-point favorite here, Dan. So,
yeah.
Does that feel like too big to you?
Certainly a letdown spot for Michigan State to win the Paul Bunyan. And that game was in Ann Arbor, correct, for Michigan State? And then to stay on the road, obviously they went home to East Lansing, but another road game in a row. Oh, I think it's a 3-point game either way. I am worried about what I saw from Iowa's offense. I don't know if you read the link I sent you from Scott Dockerman of the Athletic in talking about how Iowa recognizes that when they have jet sweep action and motion and they're able to confuse linebackers and run out of the shotgun, they're pretty successful. But they ultimately decided not to do any of that against Northwestern with any sort of consistency. When they did it, it worked, and they still put their heads down and tried to run from under center and, you know, make Spencer Petras throw the ball 50 times. I just don't have a lot of faith in this Iowa offense against a defense with a heartbeat. So, yeah, it feels 17-13-ish. I'm going to take those points.
I think this is another one of those games like K-State, West Virginia a week ago, where Vegas is speaking to us in codes. It's speaking to us. I think it's speaking to us because it doesn't make sense to me. It obviously makes sense to them. They're the ones that make money off this. I'm just going to go Iowa. I've learned not to question these things. So thank you, Vegas, for giving
me. I would have loved 3.5 or 4.5. 6.5 feels steep.
It feels steep. It really does. But that's why I'm going that direction. Elsewhere.
Are you a believer in Michigan State approaching what they look like against Michigan for the duration of the year?
No.
Okay. No. You think it's going to be a major step down?
We've had secret Slack discussions about Rocky Lombardi's pop gun arm.
That's true.
We've had those discussions, not publicly, at least not till now. So,
but
let's pump
on
the
Michigan State schedule. Here are the teams that you have to feel at least pretty good about. Iowa, Indiana, you more so than I. Maryland, Northwestern, giant question mark. Ohio State, obviously excellent. And Penn State, not an amazing Penn State year thus far. I don't know.
Right.
I think they can be competitive enough to be a thorn more often than not.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Elsewhere, we've got North Carolina -9.5 against Duke. We've got Liberty +15.5 on the road at Virginia Tech. Liberty now ranked. And also SMU -14.5 on the road against Temple. Any thoughts on those three?
I do like North Carolina. Duke coming off of a very emotional, big season-defining victory over the Charlotte 49ers. So in all seriousness, I don't believe Duke is that good, but I think their defense is okay. And as a 9.5-point dog at home, it's interesting to me. Does North Carolina have anybody? I mean, this is obviously a rivalry game. I don't think they're fully looking forward to it, but they have Wake in a week off before Notre Dame. So it's not a look-ahead situation. I think I like North Carolina here. I think they should be able to run and get a little bit more momentum than what they've looked like recently. I think Liberty is a pretty decent matchup for Virginia Tech, even though Liberty's had a nice season. I don't like their front on defense, though. Malik Willis has been fun, the Auburn transfer at quarterback for Liberty. I still think Virginia Tech should, even though they are sort of an up and down by the week team, they should be able to run all over Liberty. And Temple might be bad. Temple might be full on bad. So I like SMU here on the road, even though it seems like a lot of points. Temple has hit some pretty significant lows recently. They got worked over by Tulane. Yeah. I don't know if there was a specific circumstance by that, but they've lost three.
And they lost to Navy.
Four,
and lost to Navy in the first game, and Navy's sort of not very good this year.
They edged a pretty bad USF team. Yeah.
I agree with you. I'm with North Carolina. That's my Tracy Chapman game. Like, I know it's a rivalry, but you got to give me a reason. Give me a reason to take
Duke. Give you one good reason, yeah.
I don't see it. I'll go Liberty plus the points. Tech's better, but I don't trust them to blow anyone out. And I'm with you on SMU.
Okay.
So let's go to the afternoon, 3:30, Florida, Georgia. The line is 4.5. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party. Maybe less of a party than usual this year, but the game's still going on, which is cool. The winner of this one is basically the winner of the SEC East. So in this contest, Daniel,
I'm ready.
Which SEC East juggernaut do you trust more? Do you trust Georgia with its defense, top defense in the nation per the SP Plus? Mm-hmm. Or do you trust in Florida and the Kyle driver and the number four offense per the SP Plus?
I think I trust Georgia a little more. I think I find myself always regretting not rolling with the better defense if that defense has an excellent ceiling, even though, yes, they gave up points against Alabama. I don't believe Florida is stacked, even though I do love K-pop. I do love the Kyle driver. I don't think they have that what are you supposed to do element, whereas Alabama, at that moment anyway, when Jalen Waddle was healthy, most certainly did. So I still worry about the Florida defense, even though they look to take a step forward against Mizzou. I think Georgia is good enough here, even though, man, rolling with Stetson Bennett in a big game is not my favorite thing. But how many points does Florida need to score for you to feel confident that they can win this game against his defense?
Yeah. See, that's the question. I think
27?
Yeah. I've got the final at 28-21 in favor of Florida.
Okay.
So for me, Florida is the answer because I do think the offense is good enough to move the ball in Georgia. They can beat you a couple different ways. They can create mismatches with that scheme. The defense is definitely a liability, but I don't necessarily have faith in Stetson Bennett. And that could be to my everlasting shame. But after being great initially and definitely serviceable, don't get me wrong. Like, this is not a bad quarterback by any stretch. But now that we're a couple weeks into this thing, the numbers just aren't that exciting. 58% completion percentage, 7 touchdowns, 5 picks. I like him enough, but I am not necessarily buying in on him in a big spot like this. So I think fun game. I think Florida's got enough offense. I think it's tight, but I'm going Florida 28-21 here.
And it did take, in your defense, it did take an outstanding performance from the Texas A&M offense to beat this Florida team, albeit in College Station, not a neutral site in Jacksonville. Bus right away. So I understand it. I am just a little bit worried that Florida may not have that second or third counterpunch if the Georgia defense is performing, and that Georgia will slow this game down if they're able to force some three and outs. And this is a Georgia team that will tackle in the open field unlike anybody Florida has played, or I believe will play this year, right?
Yeah.
Florida has Arkansas, Vandy, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU, most certainly. This looks like their final obstacle on their way to a one-loss season if they're able to get over Georgia. I'm just going to roll with what I still believe to be the best unit on the field, albeit not by much, and that's the Georgia defense. I have it 23-20 Georgia. So I suppose I have Florida covering.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be quite tight and back and forth.
We both are going points here. I do like that. Yeah. I think that's the right move. Okay, also in that slot, this one at 4 o'clock, it's Oklahoma State minus 10.5 on the road in the Little Apple against K-State. Are we both now at the point where we feel it's safe to bet against K-State? Have we both gotten there?
Yes. Yes,
I think I'm there.
But yes, I think I'm there. And it's the Skylar Thompson loss is just such an incredible bummer. I assume he's going to come back next year because everybody gets sort of a free pass eligibility-wise. We'll see. I just think that combination of what I still think is a strong Oklahoma State defense against Will Howard and those playmakers and K-State's vulnerability if they're not able to churn out longer drives because of inconsistency, it's going to wear down the defense. I think Oklahoma State's a couple touchdowns better. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, especially after last week, especially in this matchup, I really like Oklahoma State. This is the best defense they're going to see all year. The offense is shaky to begin with. And last week was a straight up mess. So I don't really have that reason to go K-State here. Oklahoma State still has a lot to play for. Last week was obviously not the kind of game that's going to make them feel good, but they still do have a lot to play for. I think
K-State's offensive line, by the way, could have an extremely long day.
Yeah. I like Oklahoma State here by a couple touchdowns. I'm with you.
Okay. We agree.
Some other action, a bunch of games in that afternoon slate. Let me read off a few in groups here. You could tell me if I can jump out to you. In the Big Ten, we've got Minnesota minus 9.5 against Illinois. And we've also got Maryland plus 25.5 on the road at Penn State. I think I'm taking Illinois plus the points.
Why?
I don't like them outright, but the Minnesota defense to me is now a huge question mark. Huge question mark. And even though it's Illinois, Illinois has a little history of being plucky for Lovie Smith.
Okay.
So I'm going points here at home.
I'm going to need more than that. I'm going to need more than a history because Illinois is down dudes on offense and they don't move the ball all that often. I know it was relatively close last week. I think Minnesota, it's not a neck crack. It's just a nice matchup against Illinois. I'm not a believer in Sky Umah this year after what we've seen these past couple weeks, especially with those losses on defense. But Minnesota is not just there. I understand if Talia Tungavailoa is good or somewhat good and Mike Locksley's known for recent interesting, if not excellent offenses being a part of them. I understand that Maryland is going to have some nice offensive performances this year, even in losing efforts, even in big losing efforts. I don't see that sort of ceiling for Illinois, especially with backups at quarterback. So I think Minnesota can stumble into a comfortable win against a team down on offense and not all that strong on defense thus far.
For what it's worth, I have missed horribly on Minnesota each of the first 2 weeks. So
sure.
If you're out there, if you're in some sort of pool or maybe laying a few shekels, go with Dan. Don't go with me on this one.
Illinois can run the ball some, and that's interesting. They're generating chunkier plays, Illinois. So they need to build the whole plane out of those longer runs and longer pass plays. But if Minnesota can do basic things in terms of, I'm not saying they can, in terms of keeping Illini plays in front of them, Illinois is not a marching team down the field. So I'm going to bank on that.
We've got Kansas at Oklahoma. We've got Texas Tech at TCU. Pitt at Florida State. We argued about this game on the Bruin A.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to figure out who'd be favored here. Pitt's favored by 1.5. Do you have a lean on this game? Do you feel any kind of tingle one way or the other?
No, I'm tingle free since 83, Ty. Yeah. I don't have much in the way. I can find interest and or feign interest in a lot of matchups, especially as they get close. Like, okay, that's an interesting storyline to now pay attention to. The 2020 Pitt season and the 2020 Florida State seasons are not, they don't fall under any of those categories for me right now. Maybe it's close, late, and weird, and I'll flip it on over, and who knows what happens. Maybe Florida, Georgia's not all that exciting. This game starts before then, I believe. But Pitt's favorite on the road, sure. I think they just lost their safety. One of their starting safeties just opted out of the season. Yeah, I'm going to go Florida State here. They're at home. They're Pitt just last time we like previously on Pitt football, they lost by 42. I'll go with Florida State at home.
Yeah, I guess I'll do that too. Okay. Some other games here real quick. Vandy, Mississippi State. We've got UMass Marshall, Houston, Cincinnati, a game we talked about earlier. Cincinnati, a double digit favorite. And then we got Arizona, Utah, Dan. Utah favored by about 2 touchdowns. You got a lean in the Pac-12 here?
I do like Utah. I like Utah, even though there's a lot on both sides of the ball, pretty new for the Utes. I'm not a big fan of what Arizona has talent-wise. Even with a promising quarterback in Grant Gunnell, I'm just not a fan. I'm going to go with Utah here too. I mean, the way they started out the season last year was impressive, and then they were blowing teams out, but they're a legit crock-potting team. We'll see what happens with Jake Bentley. As for the rest of the matchups you mentioned, I like TCU here. I think they should run pretty well on Texas Tech. I like Oklahoma big just because it's Kansas and it's minus anything. I actually like Penn State here against Maryland.
Yeah.
Penn State absolutely obliterated Maryland last year. Now, could be a new Terp team after what we saw last week, being competitive against a subpar Minnesota team, but not completely out of the universe Minnesota. I think Penn State's due for something big. I think they're too talented not to, even with the issues that they have on both sides of the ball. I still like Penn State here. And the line actually didn't fully make sense to me. I could have gone with like an 18.5-er for Penn State here. Going into the mid-20s felt like a lot, and I'm just going to steer into it. It's one of those lines that I don't fully understand, but I can't make a strong case for Maryland after what we saw in week one. I think they're just going to be too inconsistent. So at Penn State, I think the Nits bounce back.
The Nits bounce back. Yeah, I'm not.
Don't watch Vandy, Mississippi State.
No, don't watch that. I'm still a little bit leery about going against Talia Tungavailoa after what we saw a week ago. I am a little bit, but
how many points does Maryland need to score to cover this spread?
Well, 25.5. I don't think much of their defense. Penn State should get into the 40s, I would say. I would expect that they get into the 40s. So what, 17 points maybe? Could they score 17 points?
59-0 in College Park last year.
Moving on. This is the big one for me. Oh, 7:30. Clemson -6.5.
What was that sound?
I don't know. It's like a guttural from my abdomen.
From your loins.
Oh, man. Clemson -6.5 on the road at Notre Dame, 7:30 at night. Clemson, of course, will be starting. DJ Uiagalelei. Did I get it right?
No, you didn't.
What is it?
Ui? You know, like the beginning of the chorus of Buddy Holly by Weezer, like ooey,
ooey. Ooey.
Ooey.
Uiagalelei.
Ooey.
Ooey.
Unga.
Unga.
Lele.
Lele.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei. No, I screwed that.
It's the end part is advanced tongue work, I will say. And I apologize for saying advanced tongue work. I'm so sorry.
Uiagalelei. Uiagalelei.
Yeah, you nailed it. That was great.
You know, I took in a YouTube video or two trying to figure this out. And pronunciations is not my thing. And then I overthink it. And it's a me thing, not you. He is starting that guy, DJ, is starting in place.
DJ, you. That's fine.
Trevor Lawrence, we pretty much had this line pegged when we tried to guess it on the Sunday Brew and A, or Sunday Extended Recap, excuse me, that we offer on Patreon. It is notable here that these teams could maybe meet again in a hypothetical ACC championship. So don't assume that if Notre Dame or even Clemson, whoever wins, don't assume that this is the only matchup. There's a really good shot that they could meet again, depending on how these things go. Do you have a lean here? How do you feel about this game?
I think a very promising, if not very good, defense at home against a backup quarterback making his first road start. If I were a wagering man, that's where I would go.
Interesting.
I think DJU is already quite promising. Has an absolute, what do people like saying, howitzer?
Yeah, no, he can really spin it, you know?
He can spin it, yeah. He can run. He's big. We saw those, you know, third down conversions on some quarterback keepers in the read option game. Clemson has the best offensive skill players. I might even venture to say DJU is, talent-wise, he's better than Ian Book.
Oh, yeah.
Not in terms of what he has produced, not in terms of what he has accomplished, but in terms of, I've seen him go downfield to some good receivers. I don't see that often from Ian Book. I mean, between Travis Etienne and Amari Rodgers, like there's more to like about game breaking with Clemson, obviously. That's not a controversial statement. But the Notre Dame defense looks to be really good. I don't know if Notre Dame has played any game-changing players or game-changing teams or whatever. So that's a slight concern to me. But in generally, if we're talking about my ethos, my philosophy, I'm going to roll with what I think is a good defense at home. And there have been spot moments for Notre Dame players on offense, be it what, Kyren Williams and Sebo Flemster? How do you pronounce
Flemister,
that name?
Yeah.
Flemister, yeah. I don't know what the counterpunch is for Notre Dame. So
yeah.
If you're taking Notre Dame here, you're buying them confusing DJU, forcing him to a couple mistakes. I don't think the environment's going to be all that altering because it's not a full stadium or anything, but I'm going to go with that defense. I'm going to go with the green nature of DJU as a college football player and hope for a close game to prove my theory correct. Now, obviously, and I think you'll agree with me here, if we are picking which team is likelier to blow out the other team in the case that this game is a blowout, it's Clemson.
It's Clemson.
Right?
It's Clemson.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I don't think it's going to be Julian Love who got hurt in the playoff game?
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be that situation where like a player like Kyle Hamilton leaves and the floodgates open for Clemson. I don't believe in that sort of like hinging for Notre Dame.
The sticking point for me is that Clemson's good enough to stack the box and shut down Notre Dame on the ground. And I don't think Ian Book is good enough to beat him through the air. And that's it. It's that simple for me. I think Notre Dame has a bit of a problem, like you like to say.
It's catching on.
Who's the go-to playmaking threat on the offense? If Clemson decides they want to take away the run, who's next up? I don't know. I mean, there are guys who are good in spots. Michael Mayer is good for like an 8-yard catch. And maybe Ben Skoranek can go up for a jump ball, but he's not quick. Who's that guy? I don't know. And so that's where I have a really hard
counterpoint.
Time.
Counterpoint. Notre Dame is way better than, they're more talented and definitely better than Syracuse and Boston College.
For sure.
Two teams that Clemson has had weird weeks against.
Well, as a Notre Dame fan, you know I hope you're right. But
sure,
I'm just not necessarily buying it. Clemson rises to these games. And if you're asking me the question, well, how does Notre Dame win? I guess it's Clemson playing without Trevor Lawrence, somehow that changing the calculus. DJU is going to be real good, but this is also a really good Notre Dame defense that creates havoc, and they're just all around solid. So if this is going to be the dink and dunk offense for Notre Dame, they're going to need defense. They're going to need field position. And I think Notre Dame could play that game for a while. I do. But it's a question of how long. For how long can they? Because eventually, somebody on Clemson is going to break the bank and they're going to score points on a long play.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I'm expecting here. I think it's close most of the way. I think it's defensive punts. I think Clemson eventually breaks the dam and they break it wide open. They win by like 10, something like 31-21 is my
final. Is this, as I've seen our friend Pete Sampson mention, a full-on referendum of the Brian Kelly era since the playoff loss?
Wow.
It's an ideal situation, right? You're at home with a good defense against a backup quarterback. The stars have aligned for you against a nationally elite team.
I understand that point of view.
If not now, then when?
I understand that point of view. I really do. And I don't think it's the wrong one. But to be honest with you, I don't think as highly of this Notre Dame team as I have others in the very recent past. And it's tough for me to get behind that. It really is.
Find some winter wonders, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
It's tough
Find a 6'2", 205-pound receiver who can run a 4.4 and disrupt some defenses.
Both things can be true, by the way. Both things can be true. You know, this can absolutely be a referendum, given the circumstances.
With a third-year starter at quarterback as well.
Given the circumstances, yeah. So I totally get that. At the same time, I think, you know, you got to look at the team. You got to look at the circumstance here. And it's not a high-powered aerial threat offense, you know? I mean, they like to run the ball.
What is the best thing that Notre Dame does on defense?
I mean, they create havoc. They really do. Okay. They're good at getting behind the line of scrimmage. They're good
at disrupting lines. Yeah.
Yeah. They're really solid.
And they're down what? They're Buck linebacker, Marist Lufau targeting call.
Yes.
I believe against, what was it, Georgia Tech last week?
Right.
Okay. So somewhere to watch a pick on situation, maybe with Travis Etienne.
What's your final?
27-24 Clemson.
All right. Also at 7 o'clock, A&M, Texas A&M on the road, -7.5 against South Carolina. It's worth reiterating, I think, for A&M's sake, their only loss was to Alabama, not necessarily something to be ashamed of. They did knock off Florida, as we alluded to earlier. They've got 5 games left in this season. This is technically the easiest one per the SP Plus.
Mm-hmm.
I like South Carolina. I don't like them this much. My
what do you like about South Carolina?
My sticking point is that I still do not have a high degree of confidence in A&M covering on the road. That's the only sticking point for me. I'm confident they'll win. I'm not sure by how much. And the line to me feels very low. What say you?
Texas A&M lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
As weird as it sounds to say, once Texas A&M got by Arkansas, a relatively special season became more real. But that Arkansas game is always strange, even when Arkansas is especially down. And the fact that they comfortably won that game by 10 or 11 points, and LSU has fallen to the depths, there's my English, that they have. The Auburn game's going to be tricky, but that the next, I think it's 4 games, South Carolina, Tennessee on the road, Ole Miss, LSU, just, I think, became so much more real. And I think A&M is going to comfortably beat South Carolina by 2 to 3 touchdowns, because I don't like the South Carolina defense. I think Kellen Mond is coming into his own. I like the A&M tight end. I like the A&M running game. The receiving core is up and down, but I like Anaya Smith as an all-purpose weapon. So, yeah, I really do think they're locked in a way that I was hoping for, but not necessarily expecting. Give me A&M comfortably, because South Carolina at this point has done what exactly to give you? I mean, the Auburn win, is that like, they comfortably beat Vanderbilt. They lose in a weird close week 1 to Tennessee. They sort of make it interesting against Florida, but still lose by 2 touchdowns. And then just get the doors blown off that defense does by an LSU offense that I don't think we think huge things of after last week. So A&M is surprisingly consistent in a sea of unease.
Yeah, I'm going to go A&M here. It's sort of against my better judgment. I don't know why. I'm very leery of this one, but
I don't think South Carolina has a heartbeat on defense. If they did, I understand your leeriness.
All right. 7:30, you're going to be watching Stanford against Oregon. Your Oregon Ducks.
I'll be watching both this and Clemson Notre Dame at the same time, yeah.
Oregon's an 11.5 point home favorite here. Talk to me a little bit about this game. So I still need to do some remediation on the Pac-12 and get a sense for where things are at. But if the line tells you anything, and I think it accurately portrays Stanford in this case, but Cardinal might be looking at a step back year or mediocre year. And, you know, Oregon's got questions, but they should be clearly the better team.
Stanford finished last season as the 88th ranked SP Plus team, 74th on offense, 87th on defense. If they're taking a step back from that, I don't know what the future of Stanford looks like. I think they'll be better. They had the quarterback injury, bad luck last year. And now, obviously, KJ Costello gone, Davis Mills, full-time quarterback. They should have a very good offensive line. But this was a nightmare. You talk about Notre Dame's problems and winter wonders. I don't know who's making plays for Stanford this year. Like, they just, it's a complete lack of dudes for the Cardinal, as far as I can tell. Now, Oregon new quarterback, Oregon new offensive coordinator, Oregon fully new offensive line, Oregon largely new full-time starting secondary, though a lot of the guys back because they lose, what, Brady Breeze and Thomas Graham and Javon Holland, three starters in their secondary opting out. But they're so deep on defense. Their defense was so good last year. It was sort of a workmanlike effort at Stanford. I expect a weird beginning to this game with all of those new pieces and all of those places. But ultimately, I think they're going to score points on defense, maybe on special teams because Mikael Wright is a special kick returner. And I'm going to go Oregon here, something like 34-20. They cover this so front door cover relatively late. Should be noted, 40s and rainy.
I do have a sound, by the way.
Please.
Front door cover. You just got to warn me in advance, but...
Sorry. They're going to scare a lot of dogs. That sound is...
It's fine.
Chance of rain, 40s. So it'll be a little cold, a little wet, but I just... There's a lot to like about Oregon and some of the new faces coming in.
I didn't look to see what the weather is going to be in South Bend because we've had, you know, the
clear
months.
In South Bend. So no, showers and wind, Florida, Georgia.
Oh, whew, okay. No monsoon game for Notre Dame Clemson.
Not that I can tell. I can check. I can give you specifics is what I'm trying to tell you right now, but I looked it up earlier and it did not stand out to me. It looks like a high in the high 60s during the day. Kickoff is what? 7:30, 8 o'clock local time?
7:30. Yeah.
Clear in the 50s, South Bend, Indiana, Saturday night at 8 p.m. Precipitation, 3% chance, wind 7 miles an hour.
Cool. Okay. A bunch of other nightcaps to go through. Let's stay in the Pac-12. Three games, UCLA -5.5 against Colorado. We've got Washington -2.5 against Cal, and Washington State -2.5 against Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
Some low numbers there, to be honest with you.
Love UCLA because I am not all that confident in Colorado being competitive this year. Washington against Cal, I'm going to roll with Cal defense at home against a Washington team with... What? New head coach in Jimmy Lake, your boy John Donovan,
offensive coordinator. Cal's my home dog of the week.
The Yakko.
That's a good home dog. I like that. I didn't pick one yet.
Dog of the week.
Goo-goo for Garbers, baby.
Goo-goo for Garbers. Yeah, they might have, I mean, they're not expected to have winter wonders. They're not supposed to, you know, be playing deep into January if that's when things are going to be played. But they still have a skill position deficit at Cal. That really is the missing link. They have a new offensive coordinator as well. It hasn't been an amazing year to be learning a new offense rep-wise, but I think I like Cal here, especially after a couple straight wins against Washington. I like Oregon State against Wazoo. That's another fully overhauled team with a new coaching staff under Nick Rolovich, who himself got off to not the best start, I would say, in Pullman. So I'm going to go with Oregon State there because of that promising defense and Jonathan Smith really getting that team competitive quickly. And I think those are the three games you asked me about. You want to go SEC, ACC, Big 12?
Yeah. By the way, I'm with you on UCLA.
Okay.
I'm tempted to lock that one up, but I just don't know much about the Pac-12 yet. Sorry. Have to fully admit that. Cal, I was on that one early, so I'll stick with Cal and I'll go Oregon State too.
Okay. UCLA has a couple promising players on offense. The defense, we'll see, but I don't think Colorado is the team to take advantage.
7:30, we've got Tennessee -1.5 on the road at Arkansas, Dan.
Ooh.
At Arkansas. It is now November.
Mm-hmm.
Borderline erotic.
I like that we've kept it up.
Yeah, Brett Bielema hasn't been there for a number of years, but
it's just two coaches ago now.
But November is something that sticks with Arkansas henceforth. And look, this is an interesting spot here. A point and a half. It's a low number. The Vols were on bye last week, but they lost three straight before that to Georgia, Kentucky, and Alabama. Not easy, but on a bit of a skid. The Hogs are testy. They are plucky, Dan.
Tennessee coming off a bye.
Point and a half. How do you feel about this game? Ooh, tasty.
Yeah, I think Arkansas is my home dog of the week. I don't know. You don't need to play it again, but you can.
The Yakos.
It's
home dog of the week.
It's emotional for me, Ty. I don't know if it's fully rational. Tennessee has not won a game in a month. Now, you mentioned Georgia, Kentucky, Alabama. 7 points against Kentucky at home. They lost the Georgia game by 23. I know it was close to the half. The Alabama game was really never all that close. They end up losing that one by 31. I think a decent defense at home as a dog. At night, Arkansas at night, Barry Odom, Bumper Pool. I think there's some hogs in this house, Ty. And I'm going to Arkansas here for them by 6 or 7.
Hogs in this house.
Yeah, the Tennessee offense to me is, it's too rough a watch, and they get off the field too quickly. They're not stringing together even relatively successful plays. Now, Arkansas in their defense, the talent-wise and production-wise, isn't anywhere near Alabama, Kentucky, or Georgia, but I don't know. Sometimes the college football gods just smile down upon thee, and I think that's one of those years for Arkansas. So, once again, there are some hogs in this house. And in this house, the home dog of the weeks are barking. Home dogs of the week. Yeah.
I'm going to go Arkansas as well. We have a contingent of Arkansas fans that listen to this show and have for years waited for something to hang their hats on. That's part of why Novembert, the borderline erotic sound as it's listed here on my soundboard, is still a thing all these years later. Two coaches removed. So let's go Hogs. Why not?
There are some hogs in this house, Ty. Everybody knows it.
Real quick, four other games here that I just want to mention. Saturday night, we've got Louisville on the road at Virginia. Virginia minus 2.5. Baylor, Iowa State. Iowa State's favored by 2 touchdowns. South Alabama against Coastal Carolina. Coastal favored by 17. And Rutgers, Ohio State. I didn't even see a line in this game. I don't know if it matters for our purposes, but any thoughts on those before I quickly move to two nightcaps on Friday?
Louisville, Virginia is intriguing to me. I believe Louisville beat them last year. If I'm looking at this correctly, they beat them by a touchdown in 2019. And Virginia has had issues this year, certainly when Brennan Armstrong hasn't been in. But Virginia is confounding. What they hold on to beat North Carolina last week, they're not generating big plays at all on offense, but their defense is relatively interesting against the run and kind of a nightmare against the pass. So if we are to believe Louisville is playing a series of, 7 or 8 seasons within 2020, I'm going to roll with, once again, the Cardinals as a successful team against Virginia, and I think they're going to light them up through the air. So give me Louisville on the road here to flip the script a bit.
My nominee for a 51-50 three overtime thriller is probably that game, Louisville, yes. Virginia. I'm not expecting much defense, but I do like Virginia. I'm going to go Virginia in that game.
Iowa State big. Did you mention Ohio State Rutgers?
I mentioned it very briefly.
Is there a line? I didn't see it down here.
I didn't see it.
Yeah, I suppose Ohio State minus anything. And national champ Coastal Carolina, the Shants, 16.5, 17-point favorites against the Jags, South Alabama. You know I'm going Shants. That impossible internship tie. Come on.
I don't have a lock yet. I'm inclined to go Iowa State just because Baylor's kind of a mess. But
Baylor is kind of a mess. Showed fight coming back against TCU when the Frogs took their
webbed feet
off the pedal.
All right. Final two games here on Friday. We've got Miami minus 9.5 on the road at NC State. And we've got a big one, 9:45, BYU minus 2.5 on the road against Boise State.
I like Miami. I think Miami's going to do a good job against NC State. I think that their time off will serve them well to get things cleaned up. Did they just, had a bye week, Miami, I believe?
Yes. Yes. Correct.
Yeah, because I didn't come across just super frustrated Miami fans on social media. So that's what made me assume that the Canes were off. BYU Boise.
Whew. Yeah, giving me the vapors, man.
I don't know how late I'm going to stay up for this game. I might watch the first half. At least it's 8:45 p.m., not 9:45 for me in God's time zone, apparently. Hmm. But we don't know if Hank Bachmeier is playing. My guess is no.
Probably.
My guess is the secrecy surrounding his absence last week against Air Force is either discipline or COVID related.
The secrecy envelope around Hank Bachmeier is somewhat
seems
notable.
Sealed as well.
Yeah.
I'm going to go BYU here. I'm going to go BYU here because I think they're I hate that it's on the road. I think Boise, the slow start last week against Air Force, mind you, it's so early in Boise season, but still, I think the game testedness, the size, the gravity of BYU starting the way that they have and now seeing Boise State as the biggest roadblock, I think, I don't think the road element's going to mean all that much. Give me Zach Wilson, give me the Cougs, and given that it could be Jack Sears, probably, that's my double barrel lock of the week.
Lock of the week.
When was the last time that you gave two locks and I gave none?
I don't know. I've been deficient in my locking and now I'm making up for it.
I don't know who I want to lock up this week. I'm really struggling with this a little bit.
Okay. Well, do you want to go back through the games? I can tell you who you sounded most confidently talking about.
Who did I sound most confident talking about?
You sounded pretty confident. Weirdly confident in Illinois. You were confident in that Michigan State is not going to look, but that was more of a season-long thing. You know what? I think you sounded pretty confident in ASU with that early start against USC. You also defended your Indiana pick for quite some time against Michigan at home. That's a home dog situation.
Yeah.
You sounded pretty confident in West Virginia against Texas, though West Virginia not great on the road.
I'm going to go Oklahoma State.
Lock of the week.
Give me the Pokes. All right. That is all we have, Dan.
Yeah.
We do have some breaking news, though.
Oh, do we?
Oh. We've been doing the Colonial League drum and fife.
I know.
Turns out they only played a 6-game slate.
Sort of.
It's over. We have no more games to discuss here. No more drum and fife to play. Northwestern Lehigh, congratulations. 6-0 in conference. Caddy Rough Riders, ha ha ha. 1-6 overall. Bottom of the barrel. But Dan.
Yeah.
What a season, huh?
Yeah, well, how do you judge Northwestern Lehigh at 6-1 overall, losing a non-conference game, and Notre Dame Green Pond at 6-0 overall, but only played 4 conference games at 4-0?
Oh, man. The Crusaders had it working 6-0.
This is sort of a test case, right? Isn't it sort of like in an election where people are looking at counties 2 years ahead when there's like a special election? Like, ooh, it swung 2 points. So this is our test case of how do you judge 6-0, 6-1 with 6-0, 4-0?
Oh, my gosh.
This is what everybody's taught. You can't turn on a TV without hearing Herb Street or Klatt or anybody who at one point bleached their tips of their hair talking about Northwestern Lehigh versus Notre Dame Green Pond.
I need to kill that music.
Why? It's such a good song.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
We went there.
The Frosty Friends. So Catasauqua at once. Salisbury Township at 1-5, Bangor 1-5, Penn Argyle at 2-4, Wilson, who I learned this recently, I think an email or somebody on Discord or somebody said that you are misrepresenting what exactly Wilson is as like a 3-block radius within Easton, I think. Palmerton, the Pommies, the Fighting Pommies at 2-4, Saucon Valley 2-2. You're not far from there, right? Or am I misremembering? Saucon Valley, you're somewhere around
there.
I'm not
far from any of these spots, Dan.
Right. Okay. Northern Lehigh 4-3, Pali High, which, yes, the record doesn't reflect it, but people are saying the heart and soul of the Colonial League. They finish at 5-3, and Southern Lehigh posting an impressive 4-1. Frosty Friends.
All right, Dan. Well, fun show on this Spirit Airlines Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Just take whatever you need. Take whatever you need. You'll get there eventually.
Mm-hmm.
But
you ever dye your hair?
No.
Never had blonde hair? No, absolutely not.
The only time I ever did anything to my hair was one night when I had a few drinks in college on Halloween and decided I needed a last second costume.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps no week more fitting than this to say that I dressed as Sean Connery by using some sort of white spray in my hair.
Okay.
And in the absence of any real fake beard, trying to use Elmer's glue to attach cotton balls to my actual face.
How'd that work out?
It did not work out well. It really just did not. And I can't do a Sean Connery British accent either. So I really just went as somebody who had white spray paint in their hair.
Well, do you do the Daryl Hammond SNL Sean Connery
impersonation? That was the inspiration for it.
That's what I imagine, yeah.
That was the inspiration for it at the time. All I can really do is welcome to the rock. That's it. That's all I have. And it sounds better in person than it just did on the microphone, but it's really not that good.
No. But it's your connection to Sean Connery and Nick Cage, so it counts for something. My follow-up question that we can leave, because I just said the word frosty a bunch of times.
Mm.
When was the last time you had Wendy's?
Mm.
I think whenever I see people arguing about spicy chicken and fast food, you know, the Chick-fil-A versus Popeyes, whatever, I think Wendy's makes, and I haven't had it in years now, I think they make a pretty good spicy chicken sandwich, Ty.
Not a sponsor, Wendy's, but you're not...
Not a sponsor. Absolutely not a sponsor. And I think they brought spicy nugs back, which I think is a power move.
I was in the car in the Wendy's drive-thru on the phone with you at some point.
Okay.
Do you remember this?
No.
This wasn't that long ago.
It's vaguely familiar. Okay. And did I tell you to get the spicy chicken sandwich?
You told me to get the spicy chicken nuggets, which I did.
Oh, yeah. How were they?
They were really good.
Yeah, of course.
I have to look back to see when that was, but it wasn't all that long ago.
Yeah, look it up on your bank statement.
On my bank statement. I will. You know I will. So
I think it's a terrific, terrific fast food option. I just haven't had it in a long time. Yeah, their spicy chicken. It's worth, I think the Jack in the Box spicy chicken is worth entering into the conversation. If you like the crusty element, Popeyes is the move. Popeyes is definitely the move because they put a lot more batter on their chicken. I'm fine with it. I thought it was good. Chick-fil-A, delicious, and especially it's bare bones because you're just throwing a couple pickles beneath. I don't go for the whatever they call it, the Supreme. But if we're purely judging on the top of the top fast food spicy chicken options, I think Wendy's is in that conversation. I think they really do bring the heat. That's all.
Fun show. We appreciate everyone downloading, listening, supporting the show. Subscribe if you haven't already. Leave us a review. If you are ever so inclined, every little bit helps here. Do check out the Patreon at verballers.com for some of the new bonus features that we're offering our most ardent supporters.
I love spending time in that Discord server. We go live on it and audio stuff in random times on Saturday. We'd obviously did the live stream and posted the link right there in the Discord server. But it's just, it's a really cool place to hang out with crazy but cool college football fans. We share recipes. We have fun there, Ty. We have fun.
We do. We absolutely do. All right.
Yeah. So I want more people in there. More people, more like-minded, fun, weird, chill college football fans.
Let's drive that turnout, baby.
Yeah.
Too soon? I don't know. Let's drive the turnout. Appreciate everybody stopping by, supporting the show. Enjoy your weekend of college football. We'll be back on Friday to discuss some bigger picture stuff with our friend Bruce Feldman. He's going to stop by to talk about his new book and some other Pac-12 related subjects. Excited
for
that.
The unanswered Feldman orbit? It's got to be Feldman orbit, yeah.
Unanswered Feldman orbit, yeah. I think that's right.
Okay, that's all. I'm done.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildenbrand, thank you so much for downloading, listening, supporting. You know the drill. Catch you all in a few days. In the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.